Boobo. That's right. It's NFL Australia. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I am a guy who's very tired. I've got a... How old is he now? What's the second square, Gaz? It's got to be, I don't know.
Week and a half, 2 weeks.
8 days, 9 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 9 days old. Not getting a giant amount of sleep as your old mate Jimmy over here. But I'm still here in Larry Armour Studios. On the other side of this here iPad, he is a bloke who is was found wandering the streets of North Thornbury today. Sans pants with just a big Jalen Rules written either side of his peen. It is sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, there's some, like, strange dog walkers in the middle of Thornbury who are now, don't know who AJ Brown and fucking Jalen Hurts are, and I just kept yelling big play slay at people, and they didn't get it. They didn't get it.
I feel like
but I've had a great fucking day, mate.
I feel like that was going somewhere where it's like a bunch of dog, you know, people walking dogs and just flashing you or you flashing them. Like, it's a lot of that vibe, but that's all right.
Nah, but we could lean into the cats on the Friday night, so that was pretty good.
Oh, God. Oh,
good segue between you anyway. Yes. Yes. Big week, mate. We should wrap it up. Get into it.
I reckon. Week two was crazy comeback Sunday. What an awesome day of football it was. We thought week one was a bit nuts. We didn't have a couple of, like, record-equaling breaking comebacks performances to this degree. So we'll wrap up week two for you right now. We'll set you up for week three. That's what we do on NFL Australia. But these ones are going to be a bit quicker, obviously. Because your mate Jimmy is a bit tired, a bit wiped. It's a bit brutal at the moment. And also, I don't want to wake up the squid. So let's get into it. Episode 52 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Woo! Boo. Boo. Boo, this sucks. Oh, g'day. Yeah, this is every Denver Broncos fan, apparently. And you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. Week two. It's in the bag. Don't call it a comeback. But there were three of them that were epic, and it was awesome. Double header for a bit of Monday Night Football as well. One of those games is not much. The second one, your Eagles took care of the Vikes, whatever. But the comebacks were the story this week, I reckon, because we had two of them that were record, basically, right? Like, what, two 20-point halftime deficits overcome in absolutely spectacular fashion between what Cards Raiders, Dolphins Ravens, rewatching them as well. Like, I was watching Cards Raiders as it was happening, just going, this is makes no sense. How is this happening? What are the Raiders? Oh my God, the Raiders don't cut. What are you doing? Nah, God, of course they're going to Raiders this up and then lose in overtime. And then the Jets Browns, though. I don't know if you went back and watched that one, Gaz, but it is one of the single craziest endings to a game I have ever seen.
It was all the last 2 minutes, right?
It really, 1 minute 22, basically, they score the 14 points to get over the top.
Yeah, that's it.
Which has not happened since, did you check your notes, Gaz? 2000 and, I believe, one. The last team to do it was the Browns. Amazing.
Did they do it with someone as noodle-fucking-armed as a 60-year-old Joe Flacco, though?
To be honest, it was the Browns in 2001. They may have. We almost had a fourth as well, and this one kind of gets swept under the rug a little bit in amongst the chaos of Falcons-Rams, where the Rams just completely shit the bed. Yeah. Out of absolutely nowhere, they're up 28-3 in hilarious fashion on the Falcons. The Falcons have been there before. End up just storming back. I think they were still down like 31-10 heading into the fourth and just pull it back. There's a block punt in there, and then basically ends up with the Rams, Sean McVay having to put on his thinking cap and have his man run out the back of the end zone for a safety just to basically burn clock. So anyway, what else happened? Tom got in a fight. That was fun. Oh, mates are going to get you. Oh, look at this. Get him, Mike. Get him. That was great. And Aaron Rodgers still owns the Bears. So I'll talk about that later. Yep. But whatever. Let's fly through these games. Chargers Chiefs back on Thursday. That was a bit of a belter. But the weird part was Jazzy Herbs, it felt like he kept getting injured and staying out there. And they still nearly won it. It was weird. It was bonkers. And I didn't like it because I don't like seeing my Jazzy Herbs get hurt. And feels like he kept getting hurt like every second play.
Particularly at the end there was the two that he was crunched in a row. But I think the fucking scary one, if you watch the last, I don't know what it was, 4 or 5 minutes, there was a particular play. He's got up off the turf. He's gone back into it. He's broken right and there was clear grass in front of him. He wasn't going to scramble that. He wasn't going to make the pass, so look to throw it away. And it just kind of fell out of his hands. Mm. And you're like, oh, this guy's fucked. How is that guy still out on the field? How is he allowed to be out on the field when you've got an entire season ahead of you?
Yeah, it was pretty
tough. But then two plays later, who did he throw it to? Carter? That like bullet fucking straight down the straight over the top of everyone in the end zone that was scored to really, oh, I don't know, keep them alive. They would have still had to.
They were still there, like for back, the second, right? But yeah, it was that. I think it was the Palmer one, right? Like right at the end, onside kick as well, and didn't get it. But Palmer was also one of my picks for yards and looked great. I think he had 2 10-yard gains like really early on, and then did fucking nothing else.
Fucking nothing.
Anyway, but that was a big win by the Chiefs. Like the little comeback because like the Chargers are up and they ran over the top of them down the stretch. So. Yeah. And it doesn't help when Herbs is getting banged up. But anyway, then Sunday's games. Obviously, the aforementioned Jets-Browns, 31-30. The Jets, just hilarious. Absolutely. They were getting fucking smoked. They're getting smoked.
Control.
Down 13. And why were they down 13, Gaz? They missed a field goal. Oh, missed a point after, more than anything else. But also, Nick Chubb. I don't know. If you just want to burn some clock, just take a knee. Game's over. Nah, runs in the end zone. Almost cost his fucking team the entire game. Amazing work. Very Browns. Also very Jets. It's basically two inept franchises trying to out-inept each other. It's just like a fucking torpedo of ineptitude just hitting just right up your ass of just sheer bumfuckery. Just left, right, and center. It was brutal. It was so bad. Like, re-watching this, you just can't believe what happened. But anyway, go back and watch the end of that because it's fucking hilarious. Joe Flacco, as Gaz said, he's like 272 years old. Throws for 4 touchdowns, finds Corey Davis in absolutely fucking alone
Davis.
On that second last touchdown of the game. And then the fucking dart that he throws to their rookie receiver, wasn't it? Like for the actual game winner, Garrett Wilson. It was like a 3rd and 10, just hits him 15 yards out, fucking just like a little jump ball. He goes up and gets it. It was amazing. They win the game.
Yep.
Anyway, Jets. Oof, I'll tell you what, this... couple of results this week. Fuck me with the betting. But anyway, Commanders, the C-words got beat by the Lions. This was a bit of window dressing at the end of this one. Like, the Lions smashed him, 36-27.
Bit of Wentz magic down the stretch. So. With the Eagles not playing to Monday, this just made me feel so fucking happy in the pants. Last week, we had there was a lot of Commanders going, fucking the Eagles aren't what they thought they were because of the Lions putting up that many points on them. And the weird Lions came out and put 36. And, mate, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a fucking superstar. That guy's doing the job. And Hutch had the most sacks for a Lions rookie ever with 3. But it was more about the whole Wentz experience, right? They put up no points in the first half, and then he stormed back. So, so be it. It's Commanders. Oh, they're almost in as inept as the Browns. But they're sitting at 1-1 now. And I just feel like it's going to be the roller coaster for the rest of the season, yeah?
I also believe that it's like the first time that the Lions have scored over 35 in like consecutive games in a specific amount of games. Might even go back to last season. Since like 1940 something. So good job, Lions. That's pretty gnarly. Pretty good. Bucks, Saints, we've got a fight. That was pretty good. This was a weird game because nothing happened. This was a fucking punishers game for like the first 3 quarters, and then it just went absolutely crazy. And it felt like this, right? The entire game, you're kind of waiting, and it felt very Tom Brady-ish, right? It's like you give me a bit of an inch, and bang, we're going to now win the game. And that's what happened. Like, Saints D was right there with him. No Kamara on offense. The offense was a bit of a mess, but the Bucks weren't doing much either. And it's just, they snuck over the line down the stretch. You're like, all right, cool. There you go. Sure.
It feels like it really came down to the Bucks defense. There was 4 turnovers on successive plays there. From the end of the third, there was a fumble and a couple of picks and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, as you touched on earlier, it was the grumpy Brady led to a grumpy Evans and take it on Lattimore, and it led to 2 players ejected and Evans getting a week on the bench, right?
I also just think it's like Grumpy Tom. It's like, yeah, this is just a middle-aged dude having problems with his wife and just taking it out on somebody nearby, right? That's just all he's doing, 100%. Giants beat the Panthers, because that's funny. 19-16, the Giants are 2-0. This is, we're going to talk about this again later, but geez. Just the Panthers, talk about ineptitude. The fact is we got through this game with Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, both healthy, and neither of them got injured. So, like, I don't know, did we sacrifice some goats somewhere or some shit? Because that doesn't fucking happen. But the Giants sort of just eking it past in the end. Pretty funny, guys. Enjoyed this.
I thought, look, I'm going to, you know, taking it back a step, I thought we were going through, you know, the three key points of each game like we did last season rather than rushing through these. And I tried to find interesting things in this game. And it was fucking hard, Jimmy. I'm not going to lie. This game made me feel ill. I switched over to it for a while and it was fucking the dropped passes. Baker was, what, less than 50% at 145 yards? Like, Jesus. How's this for a weird stat? Kenny Golladay, the $72 million wide receiver, played two snaps. And Tony, their number one, their first round draft pick for last year, had two catches for 0 yards. And they fucking won. It's the least convincing 2-0 team in the league. And Matt Rhule just like, just validated our call for first fucking coach sacked of the year.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's like, oh, you think the Giants are inept? Hold my beer. Patriots held on against the Steelers. Talk about games that not much actually happened. This was a very Patriotsy kind of game. Just do enough, beat the Steelers. That's what they've always done. I think the stat is something along the lines of like Belichick, like 12-4 against the Steelers all time. Something crazy like that in his, not all time actually, sorry. That's his Patriots career against the Steelers. Because I think when he was with the Browns, he got the shit kicked out of him a million times by the Steelers. And has spent the rest of his career fucking killing them. So, but this came down to the run attack for the Pats. A lot of Damien Harris, pretty good. Big Nelson Aguilar game, your mate, and looked okay at times.
The catch that he took over the top of the defender, catching around his head, was pretty fucking cool.
He does that like once or twice a season. You're like, oh, that's why he got drafted so high. And then spends the rest of the time being the fucking disappearing man. Mac Jones, you know, sturdy, whatever. But that was a good win down the stretch. And it literally really came down to like Patriots double agent, Gunnish Oleski, whatever the fuck. He's our old special teams guy on the Steelers. Muffs a punt return. And we basically turn that into points. And that's how the Patriots win. Jags fucking smoke the Colts. The Colts might be the worst team in the NFL right now. What's going on? 24-0. This is crazy.
Fuck?
A shutout, guys. A shutout. They were without Pittman. They didn't. Basically, their receiving corps at the moment is just, well, you and I might be playing receiver for the Colts next week. I'm just saying. But Jags look pretty good. Robinson was good. Lawrence is good.
I don't want to say that we're right about something, but I'm pretty sure in our off-season wrap that we said to cool your jets, this isn't 2016 Matty Ice. And That whole, like, just the Colts vibe is just out of control. We also said last week when we were talking about first coach fired, I said, if he doesn't make the playoffs, Frankie Reich may challenge Matt Rhule. And it's spend on, jump on fucking Colts Reddit this week, and it is the saddest place on earth. They are fucking distraught. it's a bad place to be, Jimmy. It's a bad time.
I also love this idea of like, oh, if the Colts don't make the play, how about they win a game first, Gaz, and then we'll talk.
Well, but if you look at last year, Jesus. But you know what's been
they do
fucking
start
so
slow,
I've spent
right?
all my yeah. time. What I've done all spent my time when the Eagles aren't playing. I've spent all my time in other teams' Reddit subreddits.
Sicko.
And the funny thing about Sundays was the Commanders subreddit was not so much about their loss. It was about the fact that Wentz was fucking vindicated about that Jags game. About, oh, it wasn't him. We got the best out of this deal. And trying to convince themselves. I'm like, Cook, fucking calm down, man.
I love it.
You're 1-1, they're 0-2. Settle down.
You're also just the
actually
sicko.
they're not even 0-2. They're 0-1-1.
You are basically just like you know, stalking your ex on Facebook. Like that's all you're doing. Like all the time, just
Dude.
Going to other teams, just going, aha, see, they are miserable. Fuck them. I'm glad. See, that's why I don't even care that she broke up with me. That's what Gaz is doing. I love it. I love it.
It's more about feeling better about me being just a bit above mediocre by, like, enjoying everyone who is truly mediocre wallowing in their self-pity.
Well,
that's how I fill my days.
As mediocre white men, that's what we do best. Dolphins. Dolphins 42, Ravens 38. What a game. What a game. They scored 28 points in the fourth quarter, the Dolphins, to lead that insane comeback. It was 28-7 at the half. Very soon thereafter, I believe, what was it, like 31? So it was like one of those great score lines where you look at it and go, oh, they're up even more than like the, you know, the certain amount that they were. They're up to 21, all right? Something like that, right, I think it was? Yeah, 35-14. Yeah. So up 21. And it's one of those ones like, oh, this game is just, it's over. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, Lamar was perfect.
He was incredible.
He was fucking perfect in that first half. Well, he wasn't. Just the whole game. You can't even say the first half like he shit the bed. He was fucking amazing.
And unfortunately, Tua was even more perfectly amazing.
More perfect.
Because he threw for 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, and threw 4 in the fourth quarter. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle became the first pair of teammates to have 2 touchdowns and over 150 yards and 10 receptions in the same fucking game. There's like the fact
really?
That like you have to throw back to all these like insane Dolphins stats from the 80s and their absolute heyday to even come up with like a comparable sort of stats as fucking bananas. But what a huge comeback. But this is the thing. The Ravens, their defense is just a mess at the moment, especially the secondary. But at the same time, what do you kind of expect when you're playing the Dolphins? Like, When the other dudes are just faster than everybody you've got, sometimes you've got a bit of a problem. We'll talk about that again later, but Lamar Jackson was incredible as well.
Party,
like Lamar, he like had, speaking of like breaking records, well, he had a 75-yard running touchdown and a 75-yard plus throwing touchdown. So
yeah.
Just fucking chaos. Absolute chaos this game. Go back and watch it. Again, you know what I like, Gaz? Uniform matchup, that weird aqua and the purple. Shouldn't work as well as it does. I kind of like it. Falcons-Rams. Mentioned this at the top. This also became like a weird comeback where it was 28-3, and then you turn around, and it's 31-27. What the fuck just happened? There was like an incredible blocked punt, which I'm pretty sure, like, they didn't show another replay, but I'm like, he literally just ran into the leg of the kicker and then hit the ball. I'm pretty sure that's, you know, like,
something weird. It was like the first Falcons blocked punt in like 20 years or
that's
something.
Fucking nuts. But Cooper Kupp was still good. He had 100-plus yards. Yeah, Stafford not looking too bad. But then the Falcons just came out of nowhere. It was fucking hilarious. There's fumbles down the stretch as well. But speaking of like just games where you're just like, what is happening? The Rams just fumbling the bag in what I expected to be one of the easiest covers of this year, where they come out and just be really fired up to smash whoever they were playing after being, you know, pantsed by the Bills. Long layoff. And that's exactly what happened for the first 3 quarters, and then it all went fucking pear-shaped. So,
yeah, I put some money on the Falcons covering the spread for that exact reason. They just put a little bit fucking chippy last week, and I thought that was good. But the weird thing about the Falcons so far this year, you know, London, the rookie London is fucking doing, he's advertised. He's been fucking great. Kyle Pitts is nowhere to be seen. Actually, he is somewhere to be seen. Fucking blocking. there's a lot of anger out there in the Falcons, fan base about the fuck did we get this guy for if you're just going to have him as an extra blocker. Get him running down the field. But particularly when you've got a quarterback like Mariota who, like that safety valve down the stream, down the seam and passing over the middle is exactly what someone like Mariota needs, right?
So Mariota's enough of a scrambly dude that it's like, fuck, just give him a bit of a chance and then he'll get it to the tight end anyway. What are you going to do? Seahawks got smoked by the Niners, 27-7. This is a bit of a Kyle Shanahan fuck you game, I think, to Pete Carroll. He's always had the wood over him, so Shanahan got one back. They dominated this. Trey Lance snaps his fucking ankle, though.
That's what I was going to say. We're like, well, you ran through this on your random thoughts. I'm like, this feels like a... This move feels like a headline, Jimmy.
It's all right. The handsome Jimmy G. I don't know if you've seen the post-game.
Ornstar Jimmy.
He's out there. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's pretty good to be back. And they said, oh, I feel bad for Trey, though. It's just like he's got this smile on his face. Yeah. And then he said, oh, fuck, I can't smile too much because Trey Lance just snapped his leg. So,
But the team around him afterwards, and there's like already, oh, we feel like we're a better team without the old rumors in the locker room and all that sort of stuff. But fuck that. Jimmy's like, he's cashing in. He signed this deal with some guaranteed money. He was like, oh, should probably put some incentives in there in case shit happens. He's getting... what, 250K for everyone that he plays? I think it's majority, more than two-thirds snaps. But at least if he starts and finishes the game, he's going to make 250. If they win, it's 350. So basically in incentives alone, he's likely going to make somewhere around the 5 mil on top of whatever his base salary as a backup was.
Not a bad gig if you can get it.
Bad, not bad. But you feel, look, there was already discussions about the way that Trey played in week one in that, you know, horrible weather. You can't really take much from it. But realistically, they consider themselves a Super Bowl team. So how long was his leash?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, this is the horrible irony of the Trey Lance injury. It's like we don't know. We still don't know.
Yeah.
Like this was the year we went to find out. We didn't know in week one because it was in a monsoon. Boom, week two, snaps his ankle. Fuck. Yep. Anyway, Cowboys, they hold on against the Bengals in just stupid fashion. We've got a field goal as time's running out. They win at 27.
Rush hour, baby. It's fucking Cooper Rush hour.
Stupidest game you'll ever watch. Cincy are a mess. You got Cooper Rush just tearing them apart. The way they came out, there was just so much belief that this is one of those things where you go, oh, do the rest of that Cowboys locker room fucking hate Dak Prescott? Like, is that where we're at? We might be at that point. Meanwhile, the Bengals, this is like a really ballyhooed wide receiver corps. And Joe Burrow has like no chance of getting them the fucking ball because he's just being assaulted like every down. It's fucked. So he's got zero time.
Quick notes on that. The Bengals were treating Noah Brown like he was Devontae Adams. Like fucking just running all over the place. Touchdowns in the first quarter. See you later. How the fuck does Eli Apple have a job? Second point. All the money the Bengals spent on the O-line should have gone to charity. That's my next line. And Micah Parsons is making himself a one-man defense. And if he's not front-runner for Defensive Player of the Year, there's something fucking wrong.
He already is. He's shorted substantially after this week, I'll tell you that. So.
And you can't put up 1,000 yards on Trayvon Diggs if you can't get the receiver is covering the fucking ball.
True.
Right? And when Micah Parsons is in the quarterback's face fucking constantly, that takes a lot of pressure off your secondary.
Yeah.
So it's going to keep him in a lot of games. And I think if they win one more before Dak comes back, then you got to say that Cooper Rush has done his job.
Right? Well, there's a very interesting matchup later this week. So Texans Broncos finally get a touchdown in the end of this game to win it and just put us all out of our fucking misery. 9-16. This is a brutal watch. I actually had this on the big TV. Old mate was sitting there watching it, you know, feeding the squid. Away we go. She's like, is Russell Wilson bad? I'm like, he might be. We'll talk about that later. This sucked, but he finally gets the TD. And what was it? Eric Sorbert? 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 I'd never figured out how to pronounce his name.
Sorbet, mate. Sorbet. We're fancy in this end of town.
But it's just like, who the fuck is he throwing? Oh, okay, cool. At least they got a touchdown. They hold on to win. Didn't look like they were going to get there for a lot of this game, but they did. Cardinals Raiders, we already touched on this briefly at the top, but this game was just stupid. It was literally stupid. It was 20-0. Raiders, you've got Raiders fans rejoicing. They're smashing the Cardinals. The Cardinals look like the worst team in the NFL in the first half. They're a mess. It's like literally just pack her up, boys. We're going home.
Yep.
It's just back down the road.
Kingsbury's job. He's on the hot seat.
I was literally watching that. During the third quarter, I'm like, Kingsbury's going to get fired on the flight home. Like, he's just not going to make it. And then out of nowhere, it felt like Kyler Murray was just running around by himself for the next half hour. And there were times where there's, like, two-point conversions. There's, like, fourth downs where it's just like he just kept running. And then I believe it was their first two-point conversion in the fourth quarter, right, where he ran, Oh, they were going
20 seconds. Was
20 something seconds, and he covered what was it like? It was like 85 yards or something.
Yeah,
from but the really, 5 yard line.
Yeah. So it was fucking ridiculous.
Absolutely amazing. Watching it, my jaw's just on the ground. And when they're showing the replay, you're like, this doesn't make sense. How is this happening? Like,
if you haven't seen it, I highly suggest you look at that fucking. It's everywhere, right? And he literally runs backwards and forwards looking for someone to pass to for about 17 of those seconds, and then just goes, "Oh fuck it. I got this, boys."
Turns the corner and away he goes.
Yeah,
and then they win it in overtime with the second Hunter Renfrow fumble where hits the ground, the ball comes out, they run it back, and that's the fucking game. Hilarious. The Sunday night football game was Packers kicking the shit out of the Bears, 27-10. This was the Aaron Jones show. Loved it, predicted it last week as well. If you're reading CodeBet, you would have seen in my articles how much I was riding Aaron Jones this week. It was a lot. I also have him on both my fantasy teams. So cool story, Jimmy. But anyway, the big one I enjoyed for Rodgers was the big throw to Sammy Watkins. It's like one of those moments where you're like, oh, yeah, Sammy Watkins.
There's that guy. Remember that guy?
Anyway.
But this was, I fucking struggled to watch this. Like, I definitely turned this off and after halftime.
The Bears are a really tough watch.
That second quarter, where like three touchdowns, so there was Aaron Jones and the two passing, well, one was two Aaron Jones from Rodgers. And then it was just fucking over. You're just like, nothing's going to happen from here. Fucking, how do you feel if you're a Bears fan? How do you feel any sort of hope for the rest of the season? Because, well, fucking, what did he put up? Jazzy Fields put up 70 yards passing.
On 11 attempts. 7 of 11 attempts, guys. Like, what is Matt Nagy Eberflus doing? Like, what the fuck, man?
When you take into consideration the fucking negative plays and fucking sacks, they were under 200 yards total offense.
Gross.
And this is with Montgomery putting up like 120 yards on the ground himself.
Yep.
Like, geez, how are you fucking... Oh, I don't know, mate.
Yeah, it sucked. Good win for the Pack. And yeah, that was a good game to load up on and, you know, bring the cash stack back up a little bit. Bills Titans on today's games, this doubleheader, 41-7. They got fucking smoked by the Bills. They looked like early sticks, they were making a nice fist of it, and then they were not.
And then it was a fisting of a different guy, Jimmy. It was definitely a fisting.
It was like, what was it, 3 TDs for Diggs, and Tannehill was just giving the ball up time and time again. A couple of sacks. He had 2 interceptions. It was just, it was not great. I think it was like 3 or 4 fumbles. It was like, they lost. Yeah, there you go. They had 3 fumbles as a team, lost 2 of them. It just felt like they just kept losing the ball. Like,
yeah,
between the interception and the fumbles, like the Bills are just running over the top of them. That 24-point third quarter. It was Buffalo on a Monday night. The entire look, the city's going to have the day off tomorrow kind of vibes. Like, it was just fucking chaos. I love Buffalo. Good on them.
Yeah, I mean, I had the Eagles game on the big screen and the Bills game on my monitor, you know, just trying to, watching it in silence. And every time I turned around, it was just a Titans fan giving up the ball. A Titans player just giving up the ball. It was just done. It was just fucking, we'll take that one and that one and that one.
Yeah.
And it worked out for my fantasy league because the person I was playing against needed 5 points in this whole second half from Dezza, and he barely touched the ball.
Yeah, Derrick Henry got that early touchdown for the Titans and then did sweet fucking Duke all. I know, it feels like trading away like all your good bits of your team is not a great approach. Titans.
Yeah.
0-2. And then finally, Eagles beat the Vikings. I don't think we need to touch on that one. Moving on. God, poor Gaz.
Mate,
his face has dropped. He's like, come on, man. We
smoked him.
Jimmy, we're 2-1.
No, I'm going to do an Eagle Strayer at some point tomorrow. So I'll get to rant about that. But no, it was one of the most complete games from an Eagles team that we've seen in a couple of years. It was Hurts continued what he was doing last week, but luckily, there's a whole bunch of teeth gnashing about how shit Gannon's defense was last week, and they stepped up. They kept Cooks at fucking nothing, nowhere to go. Jefferson did. I was scared of all week. I was fucking paranoid and petrified was the word I was looking for about Justin Jefferson coming in with our Eagles secondary, and We kept him to 48 yards, but most impressively was Slay. So Slay was a menace all fucking game. When Slay was the closest to Jefferson, he was 1 of 5 attempts with 2 interceptions. Right, Kirk Cousins was primetime Kirk Cousins. 3 interceptions, but also fucking 5 others that should have been. Right, so I was worried this was a big test for the Eagles, and I think, much more convincing 2-0 team in the East than the Giants. Let's leave it that way.
Interesting. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs. We'll do some real quick ones here because got a bunch of AFC ones that we'll just quickly tackle. Cincy, do you reckon they should be worried? Yeah-nah.
Fucking yeah. that looks so bad. That offensive line, they spent a bunch of money and that may come together as a unit, but fucking Burrow's woes as a fucking man running for his life has not really subsided.
So the tricky part about this, right, is like...
looks sketchy as fuck.
Yeah, right. So there's like one hole, there's one big hole in the defense, and then there's like, you know, one big hole in the offense. And it just feels like they can never pull it all together all at once at the moment. And it's one of those things where you think about last year, they had like insane luck, right? Like what was the stat about like the close games, like they're 8-2 or some shit and just like one score games or something crazy. And they pull off an incredible run to the Super Bowl. I'd be a bit worried because it feels like they're just getting fucking steamrolled and they're coming out so flat, so weird. Zach Taylor, like, do you think he's just like, they've forgotten what he looks like and they're just like, wait, hey, who is our coach? And there's just some other rando who's just walked in like he's been coaching them the last 2 weeks and Zach Taylor's like locked in a fucking car trunk somewhere. I'm just saying, guys, like I wouldn't put it past them. Denver, should they be worried? They're 1-1. They pulled that one out against the Texans, but
what have they shown us?
Nothing.
Honestly,
absolute
at all.
Sweet
like the defense, I mean, we were such high praises of them last year. Just they're that one spot away, Jimmy. They're just one quarterback, one decent quarterback away. And don't get me wrong, they've had couple of injury. I mean, Jerry Jeudy going down early is not fucking great, but we're talking about a 200 and what did he pay? 270? Whatever his fucking contract was.
Yep.
For Rusty.
The quarter
you
billion
dollars.
More
than one TD.
Yep.
You need more than one fucking TD.
He's getting booed by his own fans in their home opener.
Getting booed, and we'll touch base on the I'll touch base on some of the coaching woes in Old Mate No Mates, but mate, they're just a bit of a debacle.
Yep.
Anyway. And you're not gonna in that division. You don't, like it's a fucking tough division, so you don't have much time to adjust and make yourself look somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, that's where I sort of land with this next one. Raiders, like they're fucked now, right? Yeah, nah. Yeah, because they're 0-2 in that division behind the Chargers, behind KC, and then Denver going, you know, hammer and tongs probably the rest of the season. To start out 0-2, like it's the funniest thing in the Josh McDaniels playbook of like, oh no, cool. I'll give Devontae Adams, what was it, 2 targets? I don't know. I feel like one of the top 2 receivers in the NFL should probably have more than a couple. And just that classic offensive genius from Josh McDaniels that I've just come to know and love over the years. They fucking suck. Like, they fell apart so badly in that game that it's just like 100%. The amount of times that I've had to change a nappy in the last few days. Like, that's what Josh McDaniels and his coaching staff was doing as well, just shitting their pants. It was fucking brutal. Anyway, Miami, I think they've figured out football. Yeah, nah, yeah. Because if you have faster dudes in the other team, like, it's a lot easier. Like, just...
Yeah, they had decent, you know, they had a decent defense, particularly in the secondary last year. And now they've got a decent running game as well. Edmonds,
Gaz.
Couple deep at back.
Gaz, they've cool
and
running.
Then,
they've cool runnings did. They've gone and gotten the fastest dudes
and on
just
the field.
Coached them up and boom. Turns out if you're faster than everybody, shit gets easy. Just saying. Where's John Candy? Is he coaching Miami? I love it. Last one. Giants are a playoff team. We'll finish top 2 in the NFC East. Gaz, yeah, nah.
No. Oh, top 2 in the NFC East.
Yeah.
No, I still think they're going to be found out, mate. Oof. I reckon even that like a subpar Cowboys team will fucking find them out this week.
Love it. All right. Good bloke of the week for me. Mike Evans stood up for his mate, Tom Brady. Love that. and was explaining to the refs, please don't kick me out. I mean, it's fucking Tom Brady. Like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Like, not stand up for Tom Brady?
What do you expect me to do? Fuck yeah.
Jesus, like, I'm never getting another catch in my life if I don't stand up for him. You fucking kidding? And obviously Joe Flacco, because he's a billion years old. He's out there. Like, that dude's body's got to hurt more than ours. Like, he's out there actually doing things, slinging that big old fucking arm of Joe Flacco, smoking Joe, just letting it rip. You love to see it. Just the cowboy riding one more time. I fucking love that. Yeah. Buy him a beer.
For me, it's Tua, right? Like, he's weathered the storm of all the fucking stories of, you know, the Dolphins went hard for Watson. There's the stories came out that they wanted to replace him with fucking Brady and, like, even cost the Dolphins picks. All that sort of stuff. All the stories around him being replaced. But then they finally went out and got some weapons. And he's come out and gone, oh, you know, I can actually throw the ball, boys.
Love it.
Like, here we go.
We've got to give one to Dan Skipper as well, Dan Campbell. Was it the lineman that they brought out for basically the first man to come out for the press conference after the win? Dan Campbell singled him out, got him, you know, a whole bunch of shine. Because what was he? He was like, he was a practice squad player. It's like the fourth time he's been on the Lions or something fucking crazy like that. And he's just sort of sitting there going, fucking, what's happening? Oh, shit. It was really cool. And everybody got around him. So there's a bloke who needs a beer. I enjoyed that.
What about my mate, Dougie P, mate?
What did Dougie P do?
First win for the Jags, and it's a shutout. Like, got to be happy with that, don't you?
He did lose last week, guys. Old mate, no mates. Nick Chubb, I don't know.
Fuck.
Don't score the touchdown. The game's over, mate. I'm just saying. Haven't we learned our lesson here? It's like, dude, just if you don't go over the fucking goal line, they don't get the ball back because you can just kneel it out. The game's over.
Exactly.
But this is the thing. Incentive-laden contracts, if you want to get to, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 touchdowns in the season, got to get them when you can.
Got himself on his fantasy league, mate. For me, I've got a couple in here. One for me is Gino, because Gino fucking trademarked, I was written off, but I didn't write back. That saying that he bought out after week one. One win, Jimmy. And he bought out a statement. And now he's trademarked it, because apparently it was fucking cool.
I still feel like you need to play more than one half of good football to be trademarking a fucking saying.
I know, right? I know. The other one who's been laughed out of the fucking metaverse are the Raiders fans who are popping champagne during the third fucking quarter and then went on to lose. Spoiler alert if you haven't listened to the rest of the fucking episode. And the third one for me is Nathaniel Hackett of the Broncos, who needed the crowd to count down the play clock because of so many fucking delay of games. When the crowd is, they're taking a break from booing your starting quarterback, Jimmy, just to make sure you fucking know that the play clock's going down.
That's pretty good. God. I love it. They he's also like a bit of a mess, but at the same time, you kind of look at that game and go, maybe he was onto something last week where he took the ball out of Rusty's hands on that last play. Went, I don't know, man. I don't trust this motherfucker either. Like, why should I? Anyway.
And the last one for me is, I don't know if you've seen any of the fucking shit going around, but a dishonorable mention is the cunty, there's no other word for it, the cunty, the custom jerseys and the little fucking, you know, the tailgating parties with mannequins and all this sort of, the t-shirts all around Deshaun Watson by Browns fans at home. I'm like, yeah, just fucking don't.
Yeah, I don't know if you should lean into supporting a sexual assault. Dude, right? I don't know.
There's a mannequin with a fucking hard-on in his undies, dude.
And what's the sign was like, happy endings are not illegal? Dudes, like, just correct. Take one step back and maybe just go, I don't know, do you think this is good or funny or smart?
Ugh. My response to that post was giving up the 21 points to the Jets in the final 2 minutes fucking should
be. That's 100% karma. It's like sucked in buckets. Like, this is what you get. Yeah, Browns fans, I mean, you win one playoff game, with Baker Mayfield, you go out and get a sexual abuser and you fucking celebrate it with like a mannequin with a boner and saying the happy endings are not illegal. I don't know. Go read one of those articles. I'm just saying. Unpopular opinion of the day, Bears Packers. I mean, we bring it up every year, Gaz. It's a bit over fucking done, isn't it? Oh, the longest storied battle between two friends. The Bears have been shit for 20 years. Like, who cares? Like, this, like, the fact that everyone plays up, oh, Aaron Rodgers says that he owns them. Yeah, because they've been shit the entire time he's been there. So he's beaten them the entire time he's been there because they fucking suck. It's like bashing, like, your little sibling, Gaz. Like, you're not bragging about it. Why would you brag about it, you fucking loser? It's like, yeah, they're smaller than you. They're weaker than you. Oh, yeah, I kept fucking smashing them, man. It's like, all right, dickhead, shut up. You're a fucking loser, you dork. Anyway, Australian Spotty, how's my Alata going?
Mate, he's doing all right. Is the offensive line stepped up? Well, I mean, the running game's been going off its fucking head. Aaron Sipos is doing okay. Aaron Sipos' problem, though, is not now when he's playing in a dome or when the weather is fine. Fucking Aussie, who played for St Kilda, who gets a little bit dicey when it's snowy in December and January. So we'll see how Aaron goes in a few weeks. But it was, who was the other Aussie who stepped in, the rookie?
Good stuff. Outback Takehouse, easy one for me this week. Matt rules out if he loses this week. I think Kingsbury was done if they had kept along the way they had in that first half, but saved his job for another 2 weeks, I think, at least, maybe three, maybe four. In fact, maybe with that one win, Cliff Kingsbury might just keep his job the entire year unless they just lose like another eight in a row or something. But had he have lost that one, I reckon it would have been all over Red Rover.
I reckon when New comes back, when Hopkins comes back, if they are still winning, he might have a short leash to go, oh, you know what? That guy that we traded the farm for, well, we'll give you a pass until he gets back. And if that still keeps going, Kingsbury can be out the fucking door as well. He's shown really down the stretch of every season he's failed. But Matt Rule, you'd think he'd have a little bit more of a longer leash with, like, Baker, but
the way they lose these games, guys, it's
horrible.
There is just
little
cohesion. Like, it's
I tried to find some, like, I literally spent more work trying to find interesting shit out of the Carolina Giants games than clearly Carolina spent game planning for the Carolina Giants game. It was fucking horrendous.
Ugh.
Right. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, look, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Who do they play? Well, yeah, they play New Orleans. That's a tough one if they lose that. But at home, it's also one of those things where you just want to see a half-decent showing at home, right? So, anyway. Quick one, Captain Fantasy. Another win for Jim. Love that. In the old NFL Australia Legends League. Enjoyed it. There was the Thielen-Jefferson battle down the stretch that got me over the line. And I had Thielen, just saying. I'm feeling this. Gaz finally got a win on the board.
Yeah, for me, it was literally, I got a win. Overall, it was fucking a bit sketchy because someone had a... But I got over the line because, as I mentioned earlier, Deza Henry, strong show in the first half and got shut down by the Bills. So it got me over the line over Matt.
Love it. All right, let's do some previews for week three. God damn, it feels... It happens every year. You sort of turn around, you're like, oh, geez, it's week six already, Gas. What's happening? And then boom, it's like, boom, it's like, it's week 14. There's only 4 weeks left in the season. What the fuck is happening? It feels weird. Like, week three was always about my favorite time, especially when we're living in the States, right? Like, week three is when you sort of settle in. You settle into the groove of football Sundays. Like, you figured out the bar that you want to go to, or most of your mates have shaken loose for that one little spot. It's like, oh, fuck, week three? Cool. We've seen a bunch of the games. We've either stayed home. We've been at bars the first 2 weeks. We can actually travel somewhere to watch something. We'll go to one of your, you'll try out a different bar and you'll see what happens. Like, if you fuck me, I'm going to be upset. But I have seen most of the football the first 2 weeks. So as long as we see some, I'm not going to have a cry. But love week three. It's like one of those ones where you go, yep, cool. I know enough to know what not to bet on, I think, at this point, right? It's one of those great weeks where you go, nah, staying clear of that. I want no bar of it. Whereas week one and two, you're like, just fucking do it. Anyway, let's go. Pittsburgh-Cleveland. Whoa, what a rip snort. This is one of the toughest games to pick as well right now. Like, Pittsburgh have shown us fuck all. Cleveland just lost to the Jets. Who are you going to take? I'm going Pittsburgh plus 5.5. The defense was sturdy against the Pats. The Pats offense, though, I don't feel like it's too much to be sturdy against. And they still gave up the ghost in the end. And TJ Watt, with him not there, I don't think they like got on to like Mac once. So I'm worried about the 5.5 against Cleveland, who can run the ball. And it's about the only thing they can do. And defensively, Pittsburgh on their offense just aren't really scaring anybody at the moment. So I'm a bit worried about this, but 5.5 points. Pittsburgh, you know Mike Tomlin's going to be pissed off after losing to the Pats. This will be close. All Pittsburgh do is play close games so far this year. It's an overtime win. It's a 3-point loss. If I'm going to get 5.5 points against Cleveland, fuck it. Why not?
I'm exactly the same. There's a couple of games in this thing where you go, oh, well, this team lost last week and this team won last week. And you're like, yeah, but neither win or loss showed us fucking anything.
Yep.
Right? And this is definitely one of them. Like, on from a wide receiving core, there's talent there for Pittsburgh, but Trubisky's getting booed and, like, the crowd cheering for Kenny, right? And he's still in there. And obviously the defense is missing a pretty major fucking key piece. But as we just said, Cleveland have managed to shit the bed against a 50,000-year-old Joe Flacco. So I don't know, mate. I'm going with the 5.5 points, even though it's away, sticking with Pitts.
I'd bet the under before I'd bet the line. Chicago hosting Houston. Again, just fucking try to pick this. Are you kidding? We've both gone Houston plus 2.5 just because it feels like they're the more solid team through the first 2 weeks, right? Like, they at least look like they've kind of got a plan. And if it's Lovie Smith playing for a draw, at least that's still a plan. Chicago look like just they have no idea what they've got, what they're doing. The defense just got fucking torched by Aaron Rodgers. They got their one win in week one. I think they lose this. I think Houston win it. And you just sort of see them going, oh, Chicago are bad because Chicago are bad. Houston are bad, but they're not as bad as Chicago.
I think so. One Houston has shown is an ability to slug it out and keep it close, even when they lose, right? I think they just ride the fuck out of Pierce and just go, oh, you know what? Just carry the ball fucking the next 58 out of 60 times and let's just walk it home, right?
Now, this next one's also fascinating. Raiders, Tennessee. Two teams have got beaten in very, very,
once again, another
very
one.
Different
what the
ways,
fuck?
But Jesus Christ. I've gone Tennessee. Tennessee are at home and a 2.5 point underdogs at home. So I've gone with Tennessee. But this is Vrabel, like, literally probably personally, like, wanting to fight every single member of his, like, walking up to every single member going, I will fucking fight you right here and now if we don't win this game. And every player on that Titans are going, I don't want to fight Mike Vrabel. Like, Derrick Henry's like, nah, I don't want to fucking borrow that. Jesus Christ. Whereas the Raiders, an embarrassing loss, a very Josh McDaniels-y loss. I'm going the Titans. You've gone the Raiders.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I don't know whether I think too much of the Raiders or whether I think too much about Josh McDaniels. But I just feel like it's got to click at some point. Like, yes, they were nothing more than a verging on the playoffs team all last year, but they've only really added to that equation, you would have thought. So I just think they've got to click at some point. And Tennessee got fucking smoked. Yep. I guess that they're going to be angry, but I don't know. I've just got, this might be the week that the Raiders somewhat click, because they did for at least a half.
The craziest part is there's going to be one of these two teams. So a Raiders team that, what, made the playoffs last year? And a Tennessee Titans team that was in the one seed last year. One of these two teams will be 0-3. Like, that's fucking crazy to me. But anyway, just check that. Did the Raiders make it? I can't even remember. They did. They did. They were 10-7. They made it through because they were the ones who knocked out the Chargers in the last week, right? Yeah. Anyway, good times, great memories that I can't remember because I drink too much. What do we got? Who was next? KC Indy.
KC Indy.
I've got Gaz actually like handily pointing me in the right direction here. This is an easy one for me.
You know that's a fucking problem.
Okay, no. KC, 6.5 point favorites on the road in Indy. This is one of those tricky ones where you're like, oh, that seems a bit low. KC are way better. Something's a bit squirrely here. And then he's like, actually, nah, the Chiefs are so much better than Indy at the moment. Fuck that. Let's go KC. So we're both going to 6.5. Straightforward, right? Indy are a mess at the moment. It might feel squirrely. It probably is. But they just got shut out by Jacksonville. Don't know what to tell you. I'll take KC. Buffalo, Miami. I've got Miami plus 5.5 at home. You've got Buffalo minus 5.5. It was just too many points for me. Miami just, like, this could be awesome. But on the road, Buffalo, I feel like this is the one stinker that they throw out of nowhere. And you go, oh, yeah. And they might still pull out the win, like, out of their ass, but Miami covered that 5.5, I think.
This is one of those ones that I feel like it might be, what do you refer to the AFL as, a back-in-your-box game? Like, get it, mate. Yeah, you were plucky against the Ravens last week, but you know what? Back in your fucking box, mate. And I feel like the Bills are riding high, and I think that would have taken so much out of Miami to do what they've done. They're going to have that sense of security, and they're just going to, yep, that 5.5 points is going to turn into 12,
yep,
and then it's a done deal.
Yeah, I think that was... So I've actually looked over my picks, and I've picked a horrifyingly large amount of underdogs this week. And I think this is the one that I landed on where I didn't like. There's like two that I'm like, oh, I'll probably end up changing that during the week. But, you know, that's the good thing about the tracking on our spreadsheet, Cash. You'll be able to tell. but of course, I'll always let you know. Detroit, they go to Minnesota. We've both got Detroit plus 5.5. That's just because Detroit seemed to play tough. And Minnesota do not. But this is Minnesota, not in prime time. So maybe they'll be good again.
Oh, look, I think they'll bounce back. Definitely. Detroit's played close, they've played hard, and they may pull it out. Look, that's fucking... I was surprised by Jared Goff taking shots. He did this week. He didn't do it last week. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is fucking legit. What, 180 yards on the ground and air, and Swift backed it up, right? Yep. So they've got some weapons there. I think they're going to be all right.
The 5.5, like Minnesota... I mean, that was an egg they laid today. What can you do? Baltimore go to New England. We're both going Baltimore. Just nothing about the Pats is scary, really. I think Baltimore, even with that sort of sketchy defense, can still just fucking manhandle New England. Cincy go to the Jets. We're both going the Bengals, minus 5.5, because they're good. They're going to have to beat up on somebody. It'll be the Jets. Yep.
Got to right the ship at some point. They're worried at now point. They have to right it up because... there's too many weapons to not fucking do this. And once again, as the in terms of a back in your box game, I think the Jets are gonna come out. Bit of that false sense of ego inflating win and just sorry boys.
Yep. Philly, Washington, we're both going the Eagles minus 5.5. So many five, like this is one of those weeks where there's so many fucky matchups that they've just gone 5.5. Sure. We're not sure either. Philly, Washington feels like that one where you're like, Philly feel like they should be way better than Washington, but it is in Washington.
It's the Wentz show, right?
This is Wentz going up against his old team. I'm just that little bit wary of it. But we've both landed with Philly just because they're that bit better. And you feel like that line should be more, but here we are.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things from the Lions game, well, from both games so far, is the... Washington secondary is suspect at best. They've still got injuries on the defensive line. So if the Eagles can stay efficient, which they have been for 2 weeks, and then I just don't think Wentz will just show up as that roller coaster Wentz at some point.
Yep.
We've just got to ride that out.
Yep. Hurts looks good too, BT Dubs. Jacksonville at Chargers. I've gone the Jags plus 6.5 just because I'm not entirely convinced about Juzzy Herbs and how he's going to be doing next week. So I'll take the 6.5 for the Jags, who have just sort of played a bit tough. So I'll take points.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a fluke of playing a shit team last week in terms of what the Jags did. So I think the Chargers are going to come out and give it to them.
Yep, Rams at Arizona.
Did we miss New Orleans, Carolina?
Oh yeah, we just skipped over it. Yeah, Carolina and New Orleans. Sorry, I got excited. I've gone Carolina plus 2.5. I think I'm going to change that. But it's like one of those things where you just like, ugh, the Saints going to Carolina, backs against the wall for the Panthers, Matt Rhule coaching for his job. It's one of those ones where they just pull it out somehow and you're like, huh, fuck, I thought the Saints were going to win that one. So I'm going to go Carolina.
I feel like you're going with this kind of Rudy fucking underdog story here, mate. Because the New Orleans defense is far superior. Fucking Baker's shown nothing. They've got CMC back running the ball, but yeah, I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I'm definitely taking New Orleans in this one if you're only going to give me 2.5 points.
Yeah, 2.5 felt weird as well, right? But at the same time, Carolina are at home. But anyway, Rams, Arizona. Speaking of weird lines, 3.5 points, the Rams are favorites. What do you reckon the line for this would have been at halftime of that Arizona game and the halftime of the Rams game? Like 11, 12, 14. Now it's 3.5 just because of a couple of weird, funky fourth quarters. We've both gone the Rams, and I think this is one where I'm like, yeah, the Rams have got to finally sort this shit out, don't they?
Yeah. I think they'll get... I mean, they were almost there and then had a second-half brain fade, and that was only because they felt so comfortably ahead of the Falcons that they were like, what could possibly go wrong here? But I think that this is going to be one of those ones where Arizona got away with one and the Rams are going to tighten that ship up.
Yep. Seattle, they host Atlanta. You've gone the Falcons. I've gone Seattle -1.5. I just think at home, Atlanta on the road. Ugh, nah, give me Seattle. Like, Seattle suck. Atlanta suck more. I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, they're both terrible. I just got something about this plucky little Atlanta outfit. Mariota.
You fucking love the Falcons. You just love them.
I don't love the Falcons. I like this Falcons. I like what Mariota's bringing. Like, they just haven't had any... Like, the last 3 years of Matty Ryan have just not really had any spark. And I just feel that there's something interesting about this team. Their defense is still fucking horrible.
I think there's nothing interesting about the Falcons. I think they're horrible. The most interesting thing about them is
Drake London and Max Mariota and Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, like, if they can get Pitt the ball occasionally, then you've actually got a couple of fucking weapons out there.
I mean, sure. I mean, if they're carrying guns.
I want to sell it to myself in the audience. Fucking hell, Jimmy. Just leave me alone.
We've also got a battle.
Move it on.
Battle of the Bays. The Tampa Bay versus Green Bay. Tampa Bay hosting Green Bay. I've gone Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady. I think Green Bay just look much better than Tampa Bay at the moment. The Bucs defense looks way better, but that Green Bay offense was just fucking clicking this week against a shitty Bears team, which feels like a good training run. Basically, to sort of try to get your shit back on track when you go against like a team like Tampa Bay. Whereas Tampa Bay just looks so just discombobulated at times. And without Mike Evans, yeah, I'm just going to go Green Bay +2.5.
Yeah, so a couple of things out of this. One, we were talking about games to not take anything from last week. And I don't take anything from the shellacking that Green Bay did. Secondly, I think we did it last year where we overreacted to New Orleans taking it to Tom and then he'll be okay. And once again, we were talking about earlier about riding the ship, I just feel that maybe Green Bay isn't as good as we gave them credit for. Yeah, he's got Lazard back. Great. But, that defense from Tampa Bay still had 4 turnovers. Oh, 5. I don't know. I'm just giving it to Tom at Tom.
That's all right.
Tom.
Look,
he's also got Wednesday off. Remember that? He's got a Veterans Day now where he gets every Wednesday off. He's got an RDO. He's got an RDO these days.
Fucking nice. nice if you can get it. Yeah, Packers just Tampa Bay at the moment. Just I believe in Green Bay just that little bit more, even after that first week sort of shit show. San Francisco, Denver, we've both gone the Niners -1.5 just because they look much better. Now they've got Jimmy G back. Denver,
yeah.
The one thing that scares me is that like I think Denver's record in September at home is always like really crazy good. But what have you seen from Denver that shows you they could beat
That's what we've said a number of times. Just show me something and I can pick you.
Yeah, so not going to go just yet. Niners with Jimmy G back in charge. Kind of love it. And then finally, Dallas at Giants. I don't know. Look, I get that it's a division showdown, but who thought this was going to be a good one for Monday Night Football?
I was just thinking that, and I'm thinking it's only NFC East people who want to kind of laugh that are going to really be honed in on this. But yeah, there's 50 million, like Green Bay Tampa, right? Yeah. Like stick Aaron and Tom out there fucking.
But now we get Cooper Rush versus Daddy Dimes. Like, awesome. Sign me up. Anyway, yeah. We're both going Dallas plus 2.5, which is funny as well. So,
yeah, look, I think I'm on the back of that Dallas defense. I think they'll keep it close. I just don't have no faith in the Giants at all. I think they're a misleading 2-0 team. And I think, it's going to be a clog in the middle of the NFC East after this week.
Love it. All right, that's it for week 2 in NFL Australia. These ones are a bit quicker at the moment just because, your mate Jimmy's a complete goose. What the fuck all sleep? Baby waking up at all fucking hours. The other squid that I got to take care of all the time. And, work my job. So, good times, great memories. Anyway, we are weekly. Don't worry about that. I mean, just in case something goes completely pear-shaped. Gaz is still here. Either way, in the meantime, chuck us a follow on the old Facey Twitter IGs. Make sure you subscribe and write a review and all that good shit. Go on. Don't be a coward, man. Just go on and fucking do it. Whatever app you use, just do it. Don't be a dickhead. Come on. You wouldn't steal a podcast. What else? go check out CodeBet. That's what I do now. Yeah. I do a lot of NFL coverage. It's not one of our biggest sort of markets, but I obviously find it easy to write about. So there you go. Go check that out. Gaz, anything to plug?
Yeah, just doing I did my first proper Eagle Australia podcast for the last week. So I'm starting to, I'm just feeling it out, starting to strap in. So I'll probably do one tomorrow after I've calmed down a little bit from this Vikings game. But yeah, that'll go up weekly. Pretty much a bit of a reaction to how we've done this week. What's ever happening this week and what's going on around the East? Because you always shut me down from talking too much, Jimmy.
I love it when you talk, but it's just so boring listening to you harp on about how much you fucking hate the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders. Like,
and Kirk Cousins. You missed Kirk Cousins. This week was so fucking great.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Nice one. Big thanks always go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. We love them. And NBA story, if you're up to some NBA shit, we'll be back, I believe, next week, or hopefully, I think that's the plan. So good stuff there. Righto, that it? Yeah, is anything else?
All right, I think that's it, mate.
Fucking nice.
Oh, go Cats! Got to say, go fucking Cats.
Nice one. What a weekend for you it's been. Jesus. Weekend for Gaz.
That is fucking definitely it.
I love it. All right, we'll catch you next week for week 3, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, and...